Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Garbage, where this week we delve back into the world of ghostbusting.
Aye.
Ooh. Leave a like if you could, because we're coming around.
We're getting foot massages, by the way, at this time. That's why.
Ooh.
That's where all the ad revenue goes.
That's right.
Just straight into foot massages. Yeah, leave a like if you could, because this week we're talking about Ghostbusters 2016, or as I like to call it, just Ghostbusters is the name of this, I think.
Or did they change it to Ghostbusters Answer the Call? Because that's what it appears to be, like yeah. when you search for it on a streaming platform or whatever.
But in the actual movie, the title just says
Ghostbusters, Girl Ghostbusters.
Girls, just girls.
Yeah.
No boys Ghostbusters, I think they called
that's
it.
That's right.
So do you want to talk a bit about the build-up to this in terms of there was supposed to be a Ghostbusters 3 and et cetera and so forth?
Let's do it, yeah.
My headphones aren't plugged in.
This is embarrassing for you.
No wonder I can't hear anything. I did all that without listening.
Wow. And well, let me tell you, you have embarrassed yourself.
All right. So this is interesting. During the negotiation process for Ghostbusters 2, a deal was struck that gave Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Hal Ramis, and Ivan Reitman incredible veto powers, not Vigo powers. No third film could be made without the approval of all four.
I did not know that. That's amazing. Mm. So whether or not they were involved at all.
Yeah.
That's very much like, who is it who directed the Back to the Future movies? Or who wrote them?
Oh, Zemeckis.
Yeah, doesn't he have, yeah. He's like, you can't make another one without my approval and I will not give it while I'm alive.
Yeah.
So
They just got to wait him out.
Yeah.
They're going to go for it. So really the major holdout was Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. There were several drafts over the decade.
They kept sending him to his 1-800 number or whatever that he has in New York. They kept calling up the number and reading the script over the phone in its entirety and they got nothing back.
It's a real number as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So before the project was a reboot, Dan Aykroyd had mentioned doing a version with Elijah Dooku, Anna Faris, and Alyssa Milano. So it was his idea to be like, maybe we do an all-female kind of team. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, and we've been joshing and joking, there was a video game with returning cast members, which they can't do anymore because one of the cast members has since passed away. I played a bit of it. I think it's like, it's good that they're all there, but it's not a great game.
Oh, do you mean play mechanics wise?
Yeah,
I think the story is really good, and I think the fun of it is the world, not the mechanics. And I think the fun of it for me is like you go into the New York Public Library, but then you're in a weird void dimension, and you've got to jump between ruined pieces of masonry or whatever. I think that's a lot of fun.
Well, the fun of me was that I play as some blank, expressionless guy.
Yeah, blank.
Who's not one of the main four. Look, you know, it's a 2009 game, and look, to its credit, they did get everybody back.
Yeah.
And it's very Ghostbusters, and a lot of people consider it the third film. I consider this the third film because it's a movie.
Yeah, I consider the video game one of the video games they made. Maybe the fourth or fifth if you include, like, the Master System game and the Atari one. I don't know.
Anyway, that was our Caravan of Garbage review of that video game movie. That's all people wanted, I think.
I'm so
pretty
too,
confident.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be some snippets of it in there, or maybe just a picture, like a static picture of the box.
I did buy it.
But it's sort of humming and sort of
levitating a
little bit, yeah.
It can't spew slime because we put all the money into Foot massages.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Anyway, I just want to preface this also by saying that I like Paul Feig a lot.
I love Paul Feig.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. I love Freaks and Geeks.
Yep.
I love Bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
I love The Heat. I love Spy. Remember Spy Jason Statham? He's balls off, that
yeah.
guy. I love bloody A Simple Favor, which is the movie he did after this. I love the fact that he wears a natty suit.
Oh, my God.
Like when he's directing, to add a little bit of Hollywood glamour to the whole affair.
I loved him in Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Yes, he was in that TV show.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't love this movie.
No, it's not great,
is it? I think it's okay.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think
when it came out, it was okay. and I went into this, we rewatched this, and I'm like, I reckon I'm going to have some stuff to say. I reckon I'm probably going to be a bit harsh on this one. And then I'm like, still okay.
It's fine. It's fine. I guess a big problem for me in terms of like the world of it is that it's a reboot, but it has all the elements of the other ones.
It's interesting,
like,
right?
Just make it a sequel. What? And then they bring in Zool in another dimension anyway at the end.
Well, here's the thing. So I think you're right in the sense that, you know, there's an Aldridge Mansion ghost at the start that is basically the library ghost from the first movie,
yeah.
and so on and so forth. I think maybe the reason they made it a reboot and not a sequel is because if you just make them a bunch of people that found maybe the old Ghostbusters equipment, then they don't have as much agency. They're kind of like...
Which is maybe the new one? I haven't seen it.
Kind of that. But yeah, but it's like, but you want to make them scientists in the vein of the old one. But then at the same...
I get that, yeah.
But then at the same time, at one point they go to the mayor's office and they're like, there's ghosts in the city. And the mayor's like, yeah, we know. So they're not special. Like,
yeah.
Pick one.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it also, I think, out of the gate, like, it was marketed badly. Like, it was like, do you remember 30 years ago or whatever, the Ghostbusters? And then it's like, but this is new Ghostbusters. And it's like, well, why are you saying remember 30 years ago? Because this is a new continuity.
Wasn't that one of the most downvoted videos in YouTube history or something
like that? I think
it's
like number 4 now at the moment. Here's the thing, though, as well. Yes. The reaction to this... And Sony also, and I want to talk about the hand they had in this movie and drumming up a lot of like...
Intense negativity.
Yeah, exactly.
Intense opinions.
Yeah, but people went fucking bananas about this whatever movie, you know? And it's embarrassing. If you were out there screaming, being like, feminism and SJWs, you should be embarrassed. You should hang your head and just go, oh, actually, I'm a bit sad.
Yeah, the idea that they are female Ghostbusters has nothing to do with whether you like this movie or you didn't like this movie. I think the gender of the characters
irrelevant.
It's completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, and if anything, this could have been a success insofar as it really did follow the formula of the original movie, which is you get some SNL types and you have them dick around for 2 hours.
Yep.
That's the whole vibe, which is... But I think... Honestly, they went too far with the dicking around.
Too much dicking around?
Well, see, this thing about the what I like about the original, I think we mentioned it in a previous video, is that all the characters have, like, they're very well-defined characters, and the humor derives from those characteristics that they have. Egon is funny because he takes everything very seriously and he has no sense of humor, and that's funny.
Yeah.
Ray is...
Well, I didn't think he was very funny at all because he was so serious all the time.
Oh, James, you have not gotten the point of that. Ray's humor is that he's so enthusiastic and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Winston is funny because he's just... He's the odd man out and he doesn't believe in any of this, but he wants the job, and he's like the blue-collar guy. Vegman is funny because he's a creep. But in this one, they went, let's have some defined characteristics. We get... Kristen Wiig's character is going to be very serious, and Melissa McCarthy's character is going to be, you know, very, very enthusiastic about the whole situation, etc. But then they went, okay, so which character is going to be like funny and doing jokes and riffing all the time?
Mm.
And they went, all of them.
Yeah.
What, even the serious one that takes everything very, very seriously? Yeah, she's just going to riff.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter the situation. You're going to get Bill Murray in a room and a ghost is going to escape from a trap and it's going to blow him out a window and he's going to die.
Yeah.
And then like 30 seconds later, everybody's going to be doing fun riffs. Should they be doing fun riffs?
Because
a man just died.
And no consequences?
This what's interesting about this movie, I think, is that it sort of exists in this... bubble of unreality.
Yeah.
Which could work potentially because it's a movie about ghosts and spirits and whatever, but it just never feels like anything, to me, it never feels like anything in this movie is really real. And yeah. so there doesn't feel like there's any consequences or stakes or anything. So it never feels like it's taking place in a real New York to me. It always feels like sets.
It feels very sanitized, yeah. In it's glossy and shiny. And I think the same can be said for a lot of the effects as well.
Yeah. I feel my opinion of this movie is definitely colored by the fact that I love the original one. But I do love in the original one that it is so, you know, it's all about planes of reality and the afterlife and et cetera. But it's also in this grubby, grotty New York City. Yeah. Whereas this one, it's like, are we in a cartoon world? What's happening? It always feels like a set. And like, again, everybody's doing all these jokes all the time, but nobody ever reacts to any of the jokes. Right at the start, a guy, the tour guide for this haunted mansion, he's talking about this mansion has an anti-Irish security system or whatever, and nobody in the tour group is reacting in any way at all.
Yeah.
They're not laughing, they're not surprised. They're just
it's like, "Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is the world we live in." And I'm like, "Well, then
see, I think it starts pretty funny and then it gets less funny as it goes on."
I agree.
And for me, a lot of that doesn't have to do with like the chemistry of the main cast, and I think Chris Hemsworth is really funny in this. This is the first time I really went, "Oh, he's actually very funny," because he did a lot of improv for this as well. Because he's so dim. The thing, like, he's got a dog whose name is Michael Hatt. Like, that's,
I kind of hated that, though.
Really? I like that a lot.
I think that the problem with a lot of these scenes is they go on too long. There's too much riffing. I think they should have been more sparing, but I feel like somebody in the editing room went, everybody's doing a riff and we can't lose any of this gold. Yeah. So let's keep it all in. Whereas I think so many of these scenes would have benefited from an early cut.
Yeah. Or cut to somebody going, "Actually, I think an Irish security system that's a bit not on, actually."
That's not on. If you're joking, I do not appreciate it. And if you're serious, that is very, I don't like it.
Yeah, I think also as it goes on, it then has to start doing all the Ghostbusters stuff. And it introduces all the mystery and the lore and the whatever, and it gets also like bogged down in that. But it's not as interesting. And one of the parts for me that's not as interesting is the look of the ghosts, because they're not very unique and they're not kind of weird, janky puppets. Things like one of the main ones is it's just a big green gargoyle demon. And like, where's the personality in any of this? That looks like something you'd maybe fight in a 2009 Ghostbusters video game, for example. I saw a bit of trivia that was like, Slimer was an actual puppet in the movie. I saw this on IMDb and I'm like, that cannot...
In this movie?
Yeah, I looked it up and it's just not true. So I don't know why that's...
Okay, right.
But even like, Slimer's in there. Great, okay. Cool?
Very cool.
And they do things like, they cameo, you know, everybody who was in the previous movie with the exception of Rick Moranis, and Dan Aykroyd rolls in and is like, "I ain't afraid of no ghost." And I'm like, great. Really good inclusion.
I've always wondered if those cameos were added sort of very late in the game to sort of add some legitimacy to add, you know, to push back against the pushback in the sense of like, well, all the original returning actors, they approve of this. So why don't you, horrible people on the internet?
Yeah, well, I think, and I've got a bit of trivia on that later, but Dan Aykroyd like went out of his way to kind of talk about this movie in interesting ways, which we'll get into.
Oh, in interesting ways that only Dan Aykroyd can?
Absolutely. While spruiking a vodka, yes.
Yes.
But here's something I do like about it, though. Because, again, it's okay.
It's okay, as we've learned.
And that's not people going, "Well, you're just too afraid to say..." No, it's fine. Like, maybe you hate it, but I think it's whatever. Like, all the Ghostbusters new tech, which I think is a reshoot, and it bleeds into that final ghost battle scene, because that looks just like it's on a green screen, and it takes the place of what was supposed to be a dance number, I think.
There is I think...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Maybe on the DVD there is a very long extended version of that
it's
dance
like
number. Yeah,
2 hours and 15 that cut or whatever. But so there's a moment where they're like, look, it's the ghost chipper and there's like a grenade. And I like the idea of like the villain using like a ghost beacon like around
these all
the
feel
city.
Like these feel like action figure accessories.
Well, probably, yeah.
And you're right in the sense that, again, to me, this movie, perhaps you're enjoying the extended riffing and why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But by the third act, just sort of runs out of jokes completely. And it is just kind of this CGI mess.
Yeah.
Like very foggy and dark and everybody's just got different types of lasers in there shooting ghosts and high-fiving and saying empowering things. And
they're saying they're ghost-busting catchphrases. One down, one on the ground, as we know.
Exactly.
That
and then there's a big beam shooting out into the sky.
Yeah.
Or coming from the sky, I can't remember.
And the ground, I can't remember. Something's going on. But yeah, that's
in the neighborhood?
That's right.
The original catchphrase.
I also think there's too much stuff in this of like, look what people are saying on the internet about us or whatever. And it's like, don't bring that into this. Like, that's something I know that happened in the real world and was terrible and really vitriolic. And people said fucking horrible things to the people in this movie for some reason. This was just peak 2016. Oh, SJW's pant. Like, it's just that. Do you know what I mean?
And we've never left the peak.
No, is it better now? It's different now. I don't know if it's better.
Mm.
But it does feel like there are things. I was tempted to go to the extended cut for this.
Okay.
But then I had to pay money for it. And I'm like, oh, it's on Netflix, actually. maybe I won't. But I didn't also feel like watching more of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm.
Here's a question for you, though.
Go on.
So at the end, in one of the post credits, they tune into a radio and they pick up Radio Zool.
Mm.
These guys cross over in the comics, right? They meet. Two teams meet or something?
Three teams meet.
Is it the cartoon
Ghostbusters. They've all crossed over in various. I believe IDW is the publisher. So yeah.
Okay.
People should check those out, I think.
Well, I've got some information here. Do you want to do very ghostly trivia first, or the Sony hack in relation to this movie?
Okay, let's do very ghostly trivia first.
Ooh, spooky choice, but I like it, Mason. It's no longer the spookiest time of the year, and I'm not talking about tax time. But you've taken the spooky route.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Spooky route like Dan Aykroyd got that.
Get that blowjob from the ghost. Yeah, that is a spooky route, let me tell you.
Okay, it's time for very ghostly trivia.
Oh!
During the 90s, Dan Aykroyd's concept for a third Ghostbusters movie revolved around the Ghostbusters traveling to an alternate, hellish version of New York. Columbia Pictures balked at the proposed $150 million budget.
Bork, 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 they said.
They certainly did. Both Reitmans appear, so as in Ivan Reitman.
Jason Reitman,
who's directing the new one, appeared on a panel with Paul Feig at Ghostbusters Fan Fest. And the younger director actually thanked Feig for kicking down the door on what a Ghostbuster and who a Ghostbuster could be, which I think is very true. Because in the new one, they have female members in the team. Some of them are Stranger Things kids and whatever. And I think that would have been...
This is a real victory for Stranger Things kids who've had it rough for a
long
time.
No, I just think if this wasn't in between,
yeah,
I think that would have been received much less.
Agreed,
well,
sure.
I feel, yeah. Oh, and also in an early draft of this movie, they gave an origin to Slimer. Would you like to hear it?
Yes. Oil Baron?
No, not close at all. An early script gave him an...
Slime Baron.
Closer, I guess. An early script gave him an origin as a gangster who killed someone in New York City's Rainbow Room before dying himself.
Wow.
I don't know why that would...
No, I don't know.
It's just a very odd choice. Anyway, let's talk about the Sony hack. Now, okay. A few weeks back, we did talk about the Sony hack in relation to the Spider-Man franchise.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of it spilled onto the internet about what was going on down at Sony HQ. And here's something. Original cast for this that they were looking at was Jennifer Lawrence, Emma Stone, Melissa McCarthy, Lizzie Kaplan, and Amy Schumer. So there you go.
Not bad. Good.
Comedies all around.
Mm-hmm.
Channing Tatum actually emailed about him and Chris Pratt starring in a movie, Mason.
Mm-hmm, I can see it.
With the Russo brothers producing. The idea was to make it like a big Christopher Nolan Batman Begins style franchise.
Okay, sure.
So kick things off in a big way. And this is the email. I'm going to read it out to you.
Channing Tatum was like, okay, I'll be Venkman and Egon, and Chris Pratt can be the other two.
Let's show the world the dark side, and let us fight it with all the glory and epicness of a huge Batman Begins movie. I know we can make this a huge franchise. Fun adventure, craziness. Come on! That's the email.
That's terrific.
He also wanted...
And a Magic Mike gif. He added a Magic Mike gif.
Probably. He also wanted Paul Feig to direct.
Oh, yeah.
And the idea was that Paul Feig would direct both this version and that version, and they'd do, like, multiple Ghostbuster dimensions.
Oh, I think I heard about that.
Or whatever,
yeah, okay,
going
sure.
on, yeah. But this is my favourite bit of trivia, and absolutely hats off to Sony for this. Just kudos and bravo.
Michael hats off. Don't like it. Don't think it's a great joke.
I think it's a good joke, Mason.
And like the Dean is there for too long. He's always he's like, you're fired, but I'm also doing a million riffs and I'm giving you the finger in a million ways. Calm down.
Cut
earlier.
Yeah, that wasn't
You know what
funny.
I love Charles Dance in this because he knows
what he's in.
They were like, hey, Charles Dance, you want to do some riffs? And he's like, I shan't be doing any riffs, thank you. I'll say I saw this on Ghost News. Loved it.
Sony's
also, Kristen Wiig's character gets fired because they put up the video of her getting slimed.
Yeah.
Put the video with a ghost. Why didn't you put the ghost in? You filmed a ghost.
Maybe it was in the
video. I don't think it was.
Well, if we look at the video, Ben, could you take a look back at that? Where on the YouTube watch bar, how long's the video?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
we'll be able to tell.
Okay.
Do a bit of detective work. So Sony's legal head.
Giving him detective work as well.
I know, right?
Also, could you uncover the... My wife's murderer. If you wouldn't mind, Ben, just quickly.
Sony's legal head allegedly...
It's built into your fee for the video. We've never exercised that option before, Ben, but if you could.
Sony's legal head allegedly wrote that the company should identify aggressive litigation if Bill Murray declines to engage on Ghostbusters. He added, however, that if it goes public, Sony would be in much worse shape. So they were looking to go... Oh, let's...
So it sounds like Bill Murray has always been the holdout here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if he wasn't involved, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm.
And here's an interesting quote. This isn't from the Sony hack, but this is something that Dan Aykroyd just said in public. Okay. He said, you know the director...
Like an absolute madman, just saying things in public.
You know the director, he spent too much on it. He didn't shoot scenes we suggested to him and several scenes that were going to be needed... And he said, nah, we don't need them. Then we tested the movie and they needed them. And he had to go back. About 30 to 40 million in reshoots. So he will not be back on the Sony lot anytime soon. Shortly thereafter, Sony clarified that the actual costs of the reshoots were 3 to 4 million. And Aykroyd subsequently apologized to Paul Feig on social media, saying the film was a good movie and had a superb cast. So there you go.
All right.
Just good vibes, you know what I mean? Good
now
vibes
we're now, all now we're nearly forgetting James.
Oh, yeah.
We do this every single week. We've done it since the inception of this channel.
Yep.
When we talk about a movie, we have to say, is it better than Ghostbusters 2?
Mm.
And this, you know... This
better is about, and funnier.
Is it better and funnier? And, you know, last week it was particularly awkward.
Yeah.
Because is Ghostbusters 2 better than Ghostbusters 2? No way to answer that, is there?
That's but a this week, snake eating its own tail.
I think we can definitively say...
Yep.
I think it is better than Ghostbusters 2.
I think it is.
Yeah.
And I think what gets it over the line is it's funnier. And I think there are more jokes and maybe not all of them land as we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But there's enough funny stuff in this to go, yeah, I like this people. These people are funny. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm, yeah.
Wow.
And as we ask every week, should Melissa McCarthy's character maybe have checked her wonton soup before she let the guy go?
Yep, yep, yep.
And also, why did she keep ordering the wonton soup from that place if it's so bad?
Great
question.
It's
New York. There's probably another place that sells wonton soup.
Yeah, I was going to say it was like the restaurant was just downstairs, but it wasn't initially,
that's
was
right.
it?
No, very, very true.
Wow. Remember when they visited the firehouse?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Let's talk box office.
Okay.
This had a budget of $144 million, which you might say is a lot of money.
I do.
There you go. You've heard it here first.
I've checked my pockets. I do not have that amount of money on me currently, so yes.
And it did have an enormous marketing campaign, but it only made $229 million at the box office. Mm. It was enough to continue the franchise, just not these particular movies.
Yes, that's
the
true.
Franchise. I think, though, there's enough here that you could totally blend some universe stuff.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I think so too, yeah.
I mean, they probably won't, but you could.
You could do it in a comic, as we mentioned.
Or stop making Ghostbusters movies.
Just if you're thinking about making a Ghostbusters movie, watch the original and think, can I do a better Ghostbusters movie than that Ghostbusters movie?
Maybe you can. And maybe you should go for it then.
Just go for it, yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, this has been Caravan of Garbage. My goodness, what a journey.
It has been a journey. And you know what it was good for? It was good for you know, young people, boys and girls, to look at this movie and go, oh, you know, it's a nice, fun movie, and you yep. can all look at it and go, oh, you know, there's, you know, women and everybody can be Ghostbusters, and it's just a good bit of fun for the family until that guy kills himself. You know? Remember the guy kills himself?
I remember the guy kills
You're
himself.
You're just watching this with your family and the guy just kills himself?
He kills himself.
Yeah.
But then he comes back as a Ghostbuster.
That's true,
as a, and he turns into the Ghostbusters logo.
He does do that, yeah.
And they shoot him in the balls.
They shoot him right in the balls.
Which might be a shot at men, now that I think about it, actually.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. I retract everything I said about this movie. I'm mad now.
Anyways, I know it's been like a while since this movie came out. If people could be civil in the comments.
I'm an SBW now.
Wow, what's that mean?
Social balls warrior. Wait. No, I'm anti-SBW.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. You're against it. Yeah. You're going to say, is there a logo for that? Just a ghost with huge swinging
ben,
balls.
Ben can make it. It's in his contract.
Ben, you don't have to make it. It is in your contract, but you can waive that right.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyways, guess what? Caravan of Garbage, it happens here every week.
Oh, you said it.
I said it already.
Okay, great.
And here's a hint towards next week. I can't remember.
Nice.
Some Spider-Man.
This will be a thrill for the listeners, the extended audio version.
Oh my God, they're going to love it. It would be something, maybe something animated Spider-Man or something.
Oh, okay, still quite sure.
Figured it out just yet.
Okay.
How mad do you think people are going to be that we didn't play that video game? I mean, I still could play it and put it in, I guess, at the end. Just be like, here you go, you fucking nerds, I could say.
Do you have a clip of like you getting stuck behind a couch or something? You
know, in real life?
Yeah, in real life. Help, Claire, help. I'm stuck. But like, you know, you're playing the game and you're just stuck behind a wall and you're like, how do I get out of this?
I could do that. Yeah, it wouldn't be hard to find.
I don't know, because, you know, sometimes you can like zap a something
and
move it out of
fling
the way.
A thing or whatever.
Yeah,
sure. Also, if you do want to see these early, and maybe you do, you can head over to bigsandwich.co. It's like our Patreon. You sign up. There's also movie commentaries. There's bonus podcasts. There's early podcasts.
That's right.
We also have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. That comes out there a day early.
Very nice.
Because normally it's Monday.
Yeah. So if you're still afflicted by daylight savings, you're like, oh my God, you think it's a different day? Get on Big Sandwich.
You're going to be all right.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, I'm Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
We'll see you guys on the next time.
Yes. Grab that jammy, guys. We'll see you next week.
On the next time.
Yes.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.